Hello, this is Joey Ryan, and you're listening to Matt and Brendo's Wrestling Show.
It's our time, we're taking over the prime time. And if you cross us, you're stepping over the fine line. We can take this to the center of the ring. And when the bell dings, it's time to go. I'll hit the top rope while you're bleeding. No, slam you with a chair in the back of your head. Put you through a table, now you're thinking you're dead. As I climb the ladder and reclaim the belts, you're going home with a face full of welts. We came to win, well you better know. It's Matt and Brendo's Wrestling Show.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Matt and Brendo's Wrestling Show. I'm Brendan Creasy.
I'm Matt Benson.
And
we're depressed.
We are still depressed.
if you thought it was bad last time,
good Lord, man! Like,
yeah.
Just when you think, because you know, I figured, I'm like, Survivor Series is one of the big four pay per views.
Yeah.
At least in my mind, because that's, you know, that's how it's always been.
Yeah.
They couldn't possibly keep this string of screwy finishes going. And boy, were we wrong.
Yeah.
And not only was it a screwy finish, it was the stupidest screwy finish. Because now I guess just Triple H coming out on the ramp constitutes, like, I don't know if that says something about the Big Show, that you can be completely distracted just by somebody going out on the ramp.
Well, that's, you know, that's a weekly distraction. That's the kind of distraction you'd see on a weekly show.
It's, yeah, that's a raw, that's like raw shit. I don't expect that at pay-per-view. And then to end the pay-per-view with fucking John Cena and Randy Orton with a stare down is just so, like, devastating to so many fans.
Yeah.
That have just, because the thing on the internet, and this is where I'm just like, no, guys, like, they've dropped the ball on this. Like, people are still convinced that the Daniel Bryan thing is going to happen. I'm like, no, if you have any doubts that about this, it should be, they should be over. Like,
yeah.
The WWE has no intention of pushing Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, and they're now doing this sort of weird, like, trying to pretend they're gonna push him by that match they had. Was it SmackDown?
Yeah.
Which I don't believe for a second is gonna actually lead to him having the title.
Fuck no.
Yeah, they just,
that's just them teasing. And then also, they've made the Wyatts look stupid because this is the second time they've kidnapped somebody,
yeah,
and nothing really happened.
Do you think they're teasing a Daniel Bryan going to the Wyatts, though?
Maybe.
I want to believe that's
have,
at least
wouldn't
where
they
it's
have
going.
Turned him? But then why did they let him go? That's fucking stupid. Like, wouldn't they have just kept him?
Yeah. I mean, it's not, I'm hoping that it's like,
sense.
Okay.
This,
like,
whole that's, Wyatt thing doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
The only way they can redeem it is if all of a sudden Daniel Bryan, if something, like, the only way this is going to work out, and I hope to God it does, because right now, the fucking TLC card, there are two handicap matches that we've, like, already seen before, and I'm tired of handicap matches. I don't know about you.
Yeah.
I'm fucking tired of them.
We don't need more.
On a pay-per-view?
Yeah.
Like, okay, here's what I think, and this is where things are, it's a lot of speculation, but it seems to me like WWE really doesn't give a shit about pay-per-views anymore. Like, if there's anything that I've learned from the last, like, 6 months.
Yeah.
Like, because all I read about when I read about when, like, Vince, when I've been reading a lot of interviews of Vince McMahon and Triple H and, like, on the corporate side, they're pushing, like, they're expected when, because their TV contract is up.
Yeah.
And all the money right now seems to be in TV. Like, pay-per-views just aren't, it's not like the, things are changing where the TV show is no longer just to push people to buy pay-per-views. Now that's become the primary source of income. And the WWE is expected to get a huge increase in TV revenue in this new contract. So they're doing everything they can to push the TV show. They don't give a shit about pay-per-views.
Yeah, that would make a lot of sense, you know, when you look at WrestleMania and then the Raw after WrestleMania this year.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that really
absolutely
tracks.
And then, what has WWE been doing all year long? They've been pushing the fuck out of their WWE app.
Yes.
And I'm convinced, and a lot of people are convinced, that this is leading into the WWE Network, which is going, the app is going to be the main way to get onto the WWE Network.
Yeah. Is that still alive? Because they have been advertising it for a while.
So here's
and then
what's
stopped.
Going on. Here's what's going on with that. This a lot has happened in the last week.
Okay.
It's still
Fill
there's
me
still
in.
A lot of questions, but so Vince McMahon is making a big announcement personally at CES in January.
Okay.
That seems to me like that's going to be WWE Network.
Okay.
And so far, no cable companies have announced that they're going to be on board of the WWE Network. And it seems like they're going to, WWE, from what every source, like reliable source seems to be that they are going to go the route of like a internet channel. So like a Netflix type service, but they're also going to have a streaming live element. So you can watch the pay-per-views, and their big push is going to be if you order, like, let's say, I think it would be something like if you order 6 months of the WWE Network for like $8-$10 a month,
yeah,
you will get to watch WrestleMania as part of that.
Okay.
And that will be the way they get a ton of people on board. And then, and again, this is where if they get enough people on this network, like the network's a huge deal, because if it doesn't work, they're going to have to totally, we're going to see a complete restructuring of how they operate. Cause it seems like right now a lot of things are hinging on this net, on the network. And for, on, as a person that doesn't have cable and it would like, you know, I don't buy pay-per-views because they're shitty, but I would, you know, if there was a Netflix type deal out there where for $8 a month or $10 a month, I get to watch a pay-per-view, I get to watch SmackDown and Raw,
yeah,
and I get the WWE library.
That would be a huge deal. If that's
incredible. Then fuck yeah, sign me up. And I can get, there's probably a ton of people on board. So it'll be really interesting to see. I think we're, this could change a lot of things. And then it would be, and then I feel like once the network's up, maybe, I don't know, that'll give me a better idea of whether or not I don't know. Right now, things are so tumultuous, like,
yeah,
because because then, so we got the title. On one hand, I'm glad they're unifying the titles. Because that needs to happen.
Yeah. I mean, I think
I just don't want to see it be either Cena or Orton. And here's what I'm worried about.
What are you worried about?
We always do? Here's the trend on this show is we'll throw out a worst case scenario.
And then it'll happen.
And then that's what happens. Here's my worst case scenario for TLC. I probably shouldn't even say it because it's becoming more and more likely. You notice how they keep stressing that one man will become champion. There will be a champion.
Yeah.
But Triple H isn't saying it will be Randy Orton, or he hasn't said it'll be somebody, and you would think in this whole authority storyline, which is turning into this fucking convoluted mess of shit, and like there was a couple weeks where I thought they might be turning Orton face. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? And
yeah.
So here's my worst case scenario, and I don't even want to talk about it.
Say it.
Cena and Orton are fighting on the ladders, and somehow they both go down, or some interference happens,
and they both
and we close out TLC
with them both having hands on the title.
Okay, that's my second to worst scenario.
Okay, what's the worst?
Titles. Oh, you want to know the worst scenario?
What?
Triple H screws over Orton like he did Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
And he takes the unified title.
How does that this
Oh, we're talking about Triple
this
H
is true.
Who has managed to make himself all he does is put himself. Dude, how fucking bullshit was that interview on Raw where Stephanie just kept saying Triple H, like when he's mentioned that also perked my ears.
Honestly, I just skipped those interviews.
Stephanie kept when they were talking about the best champion. Stephanie's like Triple H, like when
that one,
WWE
yeah.
And I'm like, this is something, right? I don't know. I mean, I might be. I think it's people reading it. So that's my worst. I think it. I would not put it past Triple H. That guy wants to put himself into. He stuck himself in the semi-main event of WrestleMania last year.
That's true. Like,
what is stopping him from doing this? Nothing. And this, they still think this is. We're talking about the McMahons here. That still think they need to be on the focus of television.
Yeah.
He's. From that last 5 minutes of Survivor Series until now, they have fucked up every single pay-per-view. He's gotten involved in every finish. He's
from SummerSlam, you mean?
In. Yeah, since SummerSlam, that we were fucking there.
Yeah,
like
we saw the moment WWE went really bad.
2 hours and 52 minutes of SummerSlam was the show of the year and the highlight, my high point of the year, and like. One of my high points as a wrestling fan was like the fact that like that card that happened and we were there and it was awesome.
Yeah.
But then that I knew like I'm like this is Triple H inserting himself back in and we are gonna and we haven't been able to get rid of him since then and he still has it in his head that he needs to be a big part of the show and until that goes away, which who the fuck knows.
Yeah,
if it ever will, like we're gonna have to deal with it, and I could deal with that more if it didn't come at the destruction of everything else. And so I'm curious as to see as I think this could be like the worst pay per view ever. Because what is the best in a world where the best scenario is that John Cena wins?
Is that even the best scenario?
Well, to me, that's the best scenario because I don't know who I hate more. Like,
I definitely hate Cena more, but it's like it's close.
But this, and again, this is a match that we have seen so many fucking times. How? Why? Like, duh. It's like it's so insane.
Here's
frustrating.
Here's my hope, and it's a far out hope, but. Unification is kind of something it's been needing to happen for a while, and they've been kind of sort of leading towards it.
Yeah,
Cena Orton, that's like as someone on I think Facebook pointed out, that's like a career rivalry. That's how people defend it. That's a big deal to some people.
It's a career rivalry that who cares about now?
Cena fans care about it. Cena marks care about it. But what I'm hoping is like this in the eyes of someone who is wrong. Like I could easily have seen this been what someone thought WrestleMania 30 should have been. So my vain hope is that they're doing this, they're getting this out of the way.
Yeah.
So that we can have a good WrestleMania 30.
But what does this mean for WrestleMania 30?
I mean, don't know.
Okay, so let's talk about this. I bought a WrestleMania ticket.
You did.
I'm going to WrestleMania 30.
Yeah.
And well, after Survivor Series, I was like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Because what is WrestleMania going to look like? Again, this is my various scenarios. Internet marks, like smart people, they really want. Here's like the dream scenario, given the current situation, is who the fuck cares who wins
TLC,
but then Brian wins the Rumble, and then you have Brian and whoever.
Yeah,
again, if it's Brian Cena, we fucking saw that before.
Yeah, I think
if it's Brian Orton, we've seen that way too many fucking times. That this should have all been put to bed. We should have if oh gosh, what's frustrating is what we could have been seeing, but instead, I feel like there's very few scenarios where we're not going to see a rehash here. Worst case scenario is some kind of triple threat match, which I feel like triple threat matches for WrestleMania main event, and I feel like WWE feels the same way, which is why hopefully it won't happen. That just doesn't seem like a WrestleMania main event to me.
No.
I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen for WrestleMania. I feel like there is a we're gonna probably see Triple H wrestle somebody.
Yeah,
and
I mean it's Triple X. You gotta have Triple H.
And so you're gonna have to deal with that. I don't know. I mean, who's he gonna wrestle? Cena?
Maybe. And this won't happen. but maybe Bryan will win the Rumble and someone good will win the title at the Rumble, thus setting up a good WrestleMania match. I don't think that'll happen, but it might.
People were saying like maybe Punk wins the title at Rumble, but I feel like there's not enough time to set that up.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you also have Elimination Chamber.
It's true.
So, again, a lot could happen between then and WrestleMania, but again, there's so many...
I feel like the title usually doesn't change hand at Elimination Chamber so that they can set up the Rumble winner versus the current champion.
Yes.
But,
But, again, in this day and age where we've had five fucking bullshit finishes in a row, because I count that SummerSlam finish.
Yeah.
Some people don't seem to be, but I'm like, yo, that SummerSlam finish was bullshit. Oh, let's give fans what they want, and then we're going to take it right away from them. That's not the Money in the Bank cash in that bothered me. It was the way. It was the Triple H getting involved. Like,
I guess it's not. It is the Money in the Bank cash in that bothers me, but only because it was Randy Orton who had Money in the Bank.
But
that's what bothers me, which is, you know, technically not a SummerSlam problem. It's a Money in the Bank problem, but.
Well, yeah,
the whole thing is a mess.
This all started when you and I both knew when Orton got that briefcase that nothing good was going to happen.
And remember that pay per view was also like, it was such a good pay per view except for
until
the people who won.
He got the briefcase. And that has led to everything that we're at now is Randy Orton getting that fucking briefcase.
Yeah.
So fuck that briefcase. And then because of that. Randy Orton getting that briefcase also indirectly fucked over Sandow getting the briefcase.
Because Sandow getting the briefcase was awesome until we saw what they let him do with the briefcase.
Like, god damn it. So, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm going to New Orleans, and I'm excited for WrestleCon.
Yeah, it's your big WrestleCon trip.
WrestleCon's going to be fucking awesome because... Yeah. Colt Cabana's doing a live show every night. Kevin Steen's going to be there. There's going to be a huge, it's like PWG people, CZW, probably some like Dragon Kate, Chikara people thrown in. It'll be a huge indie show.
Yeah.
That'll be awesome. It's cheap. It's like right there. I was looking at their website, WrestleCon.com. They got a ton of cool shit going on. That'll be awesome. I'm sure there'll be some good matches. The other shocking thing to me, and like, again, like it's just become a, like almost a joke, but like the Rhodes Brothers Shield have put on the best match in all those shitty pay-per-views.
Yeah, it's very true. Where did Goldust get this like spring of what youth is, energy? What? I don't know what is going on.
As they talked about on Main Event, Cody was saying like Goldust is the Benjamin Button of the WWE. What? He looks better than he ever has. And, like, every match. Like, he did a fucking that Hurricane Rana? What is going on? Like, what's his secret? I guess his secret is sobriety. I mean.
Yeah.
So good for him.
Yeah.
And awesome for him.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. This is it's a heartwarming story.
He's also, like, brought Cody up to this new level.
Yeah.
And that's awesome. And, like. So, I mean, there is some things to look for.
There's a shimmer of hope.
There's shimmers of hope. Biggie Langston's the Intercontinental Champion.
It's true.
You know, he's looking... And, like, I like this feud. They're actually building his feud with Sandow.
Yeah.
Like,
kind of a bummer that Sandow is feuding for the Intercontinental title, though, now
like,
instead
it
of
is.
A real
and,
title. But.
And now Ziggler... Oh, poor Ziggler.
Well, Ziggler... He wasn't even at the pre-show at Survivor Series.
No, but he was feuding with they kept doing these dumb matches with Sandow, him and Sandow, leading into their Intercontinental Champion number one contender match.
Yeah.
So that's what he's doing.
I forgot to bring this up at the time, but why was R-Truth the poster for Hell in a Cell?
Who knows?
He wasn't on the card at all.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe that was just them giving like, hey, here you go, buddy. Like,
you can be on the poster. You know those WWE pay-per-view posters you see all over the place.
Yeah. So I don't know what's going on. It's very strange and I'm going to WrestleMania and I don't know. Like, we'll see how less excited I can be about it
as
the months continue.
Maybe it'll get Good. We don't know. You know, it's far enough away now.
It's the opposite of SummerSlam. Like, yeah. For SummerSlam, when we started, we had no idea. And it was just progressively like, oh, this is going to be great. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Now it's like, okay, this isn't terrible. But then it was like, oh, shit. Oh, shit. Oh, shit.
You know.
What if John Cena wins? What if? So here's another fucking. See, this is why I need John Cena to be the champion. Because if John Cena is
wins
not
the Rumble again,
going into Rumble, he's going to win that fucking Rumble.
I want to believe that's not true. I really want to believe that's not necessarily the case.
John Cena is just killing people. Like, yeah. Alberto Del Rio is just done now. Like, Alberto Del Rio, although he is doing some good stuff to build up some more heel. Like, he's such a great heel. Like, he's great. I just feel like killed him. That fucking kid. He's the, like, as you pointed out, he's the arm guy. And he couldn't even put out Cena with an injured arm. Like, that's fucking, that just destroys all credibility right there.
Yeah. Now I'm sad.
So it's like, who else is going to get knocked down by Super Cena?
Yeah.
And the Rumble is going to be interesting.
One of my favorite wrestling memories was Comic-Con, I think it was 2012, not this most recent one, the one before. Del Rio comes in with an Action Comics number one, rips it up in front of the crowd. It was amazing. And it's such a shame to see this happen to him.
And now he's in this whole thing with Sin Cara, which, again, he's building up some good heel heat with that. But, yeah.
Did we talk about Sin Cara and how he's not Sin Cara anymore?
Let's talk Sin Cara about how it's Hunico.
Yeah.
and not Mystico. And,
and apparently permanently, from what I hear.
It seems like it, because he was on again and on SmackDown. But Mystico made the point of, I guess, tweeting his he was at dinner in Mexico during the Raw match.
Just to make sure we all knew.
Obviously anybody could be like, hey, there's some new tattoos.
Yeah, there's a giant tattoo on his shoulder that wasn't there before.
But I mean that's unfortunate, but
I like Hunico as well. But
I'm fine with Hunico, and maybe they'll actually do stuff with him, it seems like. Obviously, because WWE easily could have just killed the gimmick.
Yeah.
But I think they've invested too much money.
And I will say this, Hunico first kind of came to WWE as the imposter Sin Cara.
Yeah.
And then he had the Hunico persona. And I liked him a lot better as Sin Cara Negro than as Hunico, because he doesn't do any high-flying stuff when he's just Hunico.
Yeah.
Which
him and Camacho, they kind of more brawlers.
Yeah. So, but it kind of sucks for Mystico.
Then they've got him and Camacho at NXT, and they're going for the tag titles there.
Oh, really? I was not aware of that, because I'm not following NXT.
Yeah. And, NXT, that's a whole other thing. It's some cool stuff's happening. Cesaro is feuding with William Regal in NXT, and it's awesome.
I do like the sound of that.
And Sami Zayn is getting a pretty big push, and PAC, Adrian Neville, he's getting a big push, and Bo Dallas fucking works.
Oh, yeah?
Because he's like this. He plays this, the way he plays a heel, it actually works, because he's still the same exact, it's his face persona, except now he's a heel, because he didn't change anything, he's still doing his just aw shucks G Willikers guy, but in a heel way that it completely works, whereas as his face it just was a terrible,
stupid
bombing. And it's taking, the fact that he's not that great on the mic just adds to it. It was a genius move on who I think, it must have been Dusty or somebody.
Yeah. Again, Rhodes family. They're everywhere in WWE. They're killing it.
NXT, I watch every week. I watch the whole thing. I don't tune out, because they actually do interesting stuff. They had there was a Sami Zayn.
Oh! Sorry, my cat just attacked my dog right in front of the microphone. Guys, cool it.
Last couple weeks ago, there was a Sami Zayn, Adrian Neville match that probably on a lot of people would be match of the year.
Oh, yeah?
It was insane.
Huh. I should watch because it's now it's gotten to the point where I tracked it. I'm now fast forwarding more of Raw than watching, so I really should just start watching NXT.
And then they've got, remember that guy we saw at we saw both of these guys at the Fan Fest
at Access.
Access. Alexander Rusev.
Oh yeah,
that big old Bulgarian guy. He's turned into like one of the top heels.
No, oh, nice.
He's really good. He's got like this hot blonde lady who speaks for him.
Nice.
Like just perfect foreign, like a guy. He'll just get out there and just blah, 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 and you know, and it's like it's pretty great. He's like just he's like that monster. He works as the monster heel,
right,
you know, destroying guys. And then that other guy that we saw him wrestle Mojo Rawley, and he's made his TV debut, and he's looking pretty good. He's a
nice.
Good. He's got some energy, and like there. That's the thing. That's what's crazy is like the two steps forward, two steps back thing. Where WWE is so stacked right now with like up and comers, but like when are any of these guys ever going to get over? Because when honestly, if Cena stays healthy, which you know who knows, but he seems to be a determined guy, we could be looking at like 10 years of John Cena.
I know.
So what are these guys? And that's where, you know, it was funny. I've been listening to the Pro Wrestling Torch podcast, and Wade Gellert made a thing about how, you know, Dixie's got to be happy about this whole Florida training center, because it's basically like it's also developmental for TNA because not all those guys are going to go to WWE. So it's like free developmental for her. Yeah. And now like TNA seems to be like they finally got their they might not be a good product, but they seem to be out of the woods because they've cut their costs by like insane amounts, and now they're not hemorrhaging money anymore, so it seems like they're gonna survive.
Yeah, have you watched any TNA lately?
I haven't watched any, but I've listened, but like now, because of their taping schedule, I've been reading the spoilers, and like they're taped into like next year.
Yeah,
and so like, it sounds like some of the things that they're doing are interesting, but it also sounds like a lot of things they're doing is just like bad copying the WWE, like with this whole Dixie Carter heel storyline. It just seems like a bad version of.
Yeah, that's not great. They got rid of Aces and Eights. I watched 2 weeks
that
of TNA.
Needed to go away.
And I got to say, on a week-to-week basis, I think it might be slightly better than WWE. And that's not that TNA is good. It's that's how bad WWE has gotten. Well, and TNA has like kind of got their shit together.
They do, but they still... The problem with TNA is that they've never been confident in their homegrown people.
Yeah.
So they've always felt like we have to push Jeff Hardy to the moon. We have to push Sting to the moon. At the expense of
these
other guys.
Why I liked the last 2 weeks of TNA. Jeff Hardy's out. He's not there. Sting's not there.
Yeah.
Bully Ray wasn't even like a huge thing. Like it was a lot of Bobby Roode and James Storm and TNA.
Those guys are awesome.
Guys. Yeah.
And then this whole thing with
and Kurt Angle, who I guess is not originally a TNA guy, but he's still great, I think.
But it seems like I don't know, and I'm curious as to see what's gonna happen with AJ Styles.
It seems like
this whole thing with his contract could be a giant work.
That's absolutely the feeling
if
I got watching.
TNA were smart, it is a giant work.
That's what it seems like watching it. I don't know. Maybe they're just playing it off well.
But he does seem legitimately pissed about money and what they're now offering, because TNA contracts now, unless you are Kurt Angle or Jeff Hardy or Sting, we're talking like they're making like. In the high five figures.
Yeah, well, that's why you see it's so easy to see TNA guys at indie shows, because they need money. Because
they're making like there are guys in TNA. I make more money than some guys in TNA.
Yeah, like think about like we
like,
saw
that's crazy.
We saw Christopher Daniels and Kazarian at an indie show. We saw Joey Ryan while he was with TNA at indie shows.
Oh, yeah,
like they do that all the time because that's how they make their money
and their schedule allows for it. So
But if the, if these guys, if you're an AJ Styles and you were used to making big money and they're not giving them big money anymore,
yeah,
they don't, they can't afford to, and they feel like they don't need to. But then, whereas, but WWE has shown no interest in AJ Styles, which I think is a mistake.
Yeah.
But where does AJ Styles fit in this, in the current WWE? I don't know. But I say, I think they should, they could bring him in at a steal.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Put him, fucking let him go with Bryan. Let him go with Punk. Have awesome matches.
They're not going to do that.
That, but like, but they, that could satiate the fans, and then they could give, they could have John Cena be the champion. If I'm seeing like AJ Styles feuding with Daniel Bryan, like I don't, I would, I'd be pretty happy. Like
that would be a great world. But I think if AJ Styles joined WWE, he would lose to Cena and then get buried because that's what they do.
Which is just so fucking stupid.
Yeah, you know who's a jobber on TNA, by the way? Now I forgot to mention our local favorite, Pretty Peter Avalon from PPRA.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's like a jobber on TNA now.
Oh, well, good for him. I mean, he's probably collecting some paycheck, getting on TV. I mean, that's a big deal. Yeah. They still, I mean, the thing is with TNA, like people don't realize, like that's still a huge deal because a million people watch TNA.
Yeah,
that's still a million people across the country watching your face, and for those guys, that means like, especially I'm sure for PPRA, that's like
he didn't get to keep his name, but still, and,
like,
yeah.
But then, like, you know, that'll increase his fee for indie bookings.
Yeah, definitely. Because
now you have a national TV guy on your show.
Yeah.
And he, so I mean, it's, but again, it's such a different world now than it was, because people, there's a lot of people that seem to still be operating and treating this like the business like it was a long time ago.
Yeah.
But the things are changing rapidly, and it'll be interesting to see where we go from here and what happens with these new round of like TV deals, because also like, because it seems like from what I've been reading, both TNA and WWE are very undervalued right now, and it's a seller's market for TV, so they're going to be getting, like, there's a lot of networks
vying for the,
especially with like these new sports channels and stuff.
Yeah.
So they could see a huge infusion of money and viewers, and
when's
depending
the,
on what happens, I just want to see maybe if give TNA like on that, once they get all the kinks out of their new system, and maybe they could turn in a quality product at some point.
Yeah,
and then they could give Vince a run for his money.
Yeah. Also, can we talk about how weird it is that TNA is just airing pay per views as weekly shows now?
Yeah, but it seems like they're just giving them the name of the pay-per-view. Like, it's not a pay-per-view quality show.
You know what? I mean, it was better than the last WWE pay-per-view.
Well, that's not that hard to do.
Yeah.
And that's where I feel like maybe TNA can gain some ground right now.
Yeah.
But it's still frustrating that they're...
But that, and that almost is, you know, maybe the more successful version of what you were talking about with WWE, and that it's now all for TV and the pay-per-views don't really matter that much seemingly. So maybe it's a smart move to just say, hey, the pay-per-views are the TV show.
Well, and it seems like that's what they're trying to do to boost the value of their TV product, because when I mean, this is what propelled the Monday Night Wars was when...
And I will say, for the paper, it was definitely heightened the week that was supposed to be a pay-per-view. I mean, they did like three hardcore matches, and they weren't like, they didn't like kind of have to. I'm like, they committed.
Yeah.
So.
So maybe we're in a post pay-per-view world. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because I certainly don't give a shit about pay-per-views.
Not with the quality they've been having the last few months in a row.
I mean, if you look now, I mean, for me, especially if you look at the year, now that we're in December. It's December. It's the end of the year. And if you look, like, the two best pay-per-views, the only super good ones that I would say were quality was SummerSlam and fucking, what was the one?
The one after WrestleMania?
Payback.
Yeah.
Payback was incredible.
I think Money in the Bank was...
I would have thought that we would have be saying that. Whereas WrestleMania isn't even in the top five pay-per-views of the year.
Definitely
WrestleMania,
not,
to me, was a huge disappointment.
Yeah, Payback was great. And Money in the Bank, I mean, except for the very end with Randy Orton, I thought was really, really great as well.
But
that,
then,
to me, is kind of the same thing as...
Post-SummerSlam, we've just had this string of terrible
pay-per-views.
Of
garbage. Yeah, just absolute train wrecks, like, one after the other.
Like, second half of this year has just been, man. Like, I picked, I came into wrestling like just before, again, like a month before WrestleMania. Yeah. And it's just been this steady decline.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh my God, they're finally pushing Daniel Bryan. Oh my God, this is happening. Oh my God, this is happening. And then it's just watching all that go to shit. That's been my year as a wrestling fan.
Watching
again.
It be built up and then crumbling down.
And so it'll be interesting to see what happens next year.
Yeah.
But I still, this was a crazy year because you saw we had the Shield, which was great.
Yeah.
And it seems like out of those guys, it seems like Roman Reigns is going to get the big push.
Yeah, it seems to be where they're headed.
Which I think I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I like Reigns.
Just hopefully they don't fuck it up too bad.
Yeah.
But I think out of all those guys, I mean, they all have their thing and they're all going to be, I think they're all great. I still think Seth Rollins has just so much untapped
potential. Yeah.
Potential there. And it'll be interesting to see what happens with him.
Yeah.
I hope they find
a place for him because so far they haven't.
Yeah. And then Dean Ambrose could, again, also, I think, has his personality. I like watching him in there. I think he's
Ambrose
super entertaining.
Great. Yeah.
And I think he can be just like a really good heel.
Yeah.
But it'd be interesting. And I think obviously it seems like we're looking at an eventual Roman Reigns face turn.
Yeah.
Which that sounds like it could be good. And then we've also seen the reemergence of the tag team division, which was a positive.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely gotten better over the last few, thanks to the Rhodes, Real Americans.
Yeah.
Oh, remember the puke match, by the way? Can we talk about that?
Oh, God. Let's not talk about the fucking puke. I was like, is this what we're getting for? And then they had to do it over again on Raw. I'm like, oh, come on. Like,
yeah.
And you know Vince just thought it was, he probably was laughing.
Well, that's you know, a lifelong dream of Vince's, as we all remember from Beyond the Mat, finally fulfilled.
He's gonna puke. He finally got it. On a fucking national TV.
Yeah.
Finally got it. Like, and, you know, how Dutch Mantel, one of the all-time greats, is subjugated to getting puked on, and like he's already gotten gored by El Torito, and then he's getting puked on, but God bless Dutch Mantel, they're putting up with all this bullshit, and then you know the whole thing of JBL and Michael Cole is like, come on, like, I guess that's what they think we want.
What's up with Bad News Barrett? What's going on there? I don't watch the JBL and Cole show.
I think that's a new thing because that was a segment on the JBL and Cole show for like weeks.
Yeah.
And I think it's like the 10 millionth thing they've tried to use to get Barrett over, which is unfortunate because, again, I think.
Yeah, I like Barrett.
In some alternate universe, Barrett is the top heel in the company. And like somewhere, I think it'll happen eventually.
And I think this might have been before you started watching again. There was like a minute where he came close and then he got injured. Like he was feuding with Orton actually for the heavyweight title like a little over a year ago and then he got injured and then kind of went away.
There's the best of Raw and SmackDown on Netflix and I watched those. I'm watching the 2011 one right now.
Yeah.
I cannot, like, speaking of that, like fucking Miz champion.
Yeah. What's going on with Miz and Kofi Kingston right now? The sort of they're both
this, okay. Here's what happened with that. This
tweener
is,
turns.
Well, it was gonna be just a straight up Miz heel turn.
Well, that's what it seemed like.
And then they realized. Here's what happened. They were like, "Oh shit, we forgot that Miz is starring in this Christmas movie for ABC Family Channel." So they kind of did an unturn
And but now I think it. I think now that that's all seems like that's going to be finished. Eventually, we'll see.
They're going to commit to the real heel turn.
Because yeah, I think that was gonna. They realized like halfway into that they were like, oh shit. But I'm like, what kind of shit is going on at WWE Creative where they can't even remember something like that? Like,
and this is the problem. I think they can't. They don't know how to do heel turns anymore in the WWE or even turns at all. This was a while ago. Now this was it's December now, so this was a year ago.
Because this year we did see the Ziggler ADR double turn.
Yeah.
Which was awesome.
That was awesome. But do you remember Del Rio, when he first turned face, he turned face, and then the next week he hit Santa Claus with his car in the midst of a face turn.
You can't do that.
What the hell were they thinking? And then
I don't know what's going on in creative.
And then recently Brodus Clay, it seems to be turning heel. Brodus Clay, you know, turns on the what's the new guy's name?
Xavier Woods.
He pushes him into the locker. 10 minutes later, they're showing the commercial where Brodus Clay is like happy and playing with children for the WWE action figures.
Well, let's talk about the worst thing I think that has happened on WWE television in the last long fucking time.
Okay.
And this, the post Survivor Series, I was already so pissed off post Survivor Series Raw. And then they had that. Michael Strahan Miz skit where they didn't just break kayfabe, they took a giant shit on it, and then like that's where, because we talk about this all the time, like you kind of expressed this a lot, where look, we know that it's fake, don't constantly shove that in our face like that. I don't want to see that. I watch wrestling because I want to suspend my disbelief. When you do shit like that, like especially at the end of that whole bullshit, whatever the fuck that thing was, like you're just making us all like I don't understand why they're doing that. And somebody I was listening to put it very well, like, could you imagine if other TV shows did this? Like And this is where WWE can't decide what it wants to be, because if it is a scripted TV entertainment show, they're sure as fuck not acting like it, because you never see somebody like call a TV mom like a mother impersonator actor. Like the fact that they're calling these guys sports entertainers, I think that's stupid. I still think that's dumb. But then like when you don't watch a TV show where they start talking about, isn't it crazy that we're on a TV show and look at this? Like, that doesn't fucking happen.
Because so, it's not even, you know, like a meta, like Community is a show I love, for example. And they will do meta things where Abed kind of talks about the tropes of a TV show on a TV show. But he never says, hey, Joel McHale, it's weird that this is the situation we're in right now. Like, they never completely, you know, I would be fine with winking, but they're just turning and staring at the camera.
Yeah, and basically, and that's just terrible. It's dumb. And they need to stop.
They really need to stop. And with this, I don't know what they think they're getting, because I think this kind of, you know, they've been, we don't really see it as much like kind of strange gimmicks as we used to. It's all been this kind of move towards legitimacy. The storylines are a lot simpler now than they were, which I think is them trying in some weird way to capture like the UFC audience.
But it's never going to work. Wrestling is not real.
Exactly. Like, A, it's never going to work. And B, I don't know what the hell this is, because I don't know what audience they thought they were capturing with the Michael Strahan thing.
This is bullshit. This is pure bullshit. And this, if this goes on, like, then I could see where this, because again, like, you're not going to attract. It's like they still think there's some kind of mainstream audience out there that's like, if they can somehow get.
Yeah.
But one, that doesn't exist. And in the process of trying to get this audience that doesn't exist, you're going to alienate all your other, your audience.
They're catering to people who are never going to watch the show instead of catering to the people who actually want to watch the show.
And when I watch a show, I don't want to constantly be reminded that this is just a show.
Yeah.
This is all like these at its core, this is a show that should be showing wrestling matches for title belts
And that's at its heart. That's what it is. These guys want the title belt, not this whole like, not this like corporate, like these storyline, like these ridiculous things where they can't even decide if those guys are good guys or bad guys or whatnot. Just all this constant, like there's no through storyline at all. Like if you're gonna, like I guess that's the other problem is that they can't. If it's going to be scripted, then you need to know how to write a fucking script and tell a logical storyline with protagonists, antagonists, a beginning, middle, and end. But the fact that they can't even do that.
Yeah. And makes I think this
just a jumble of shit.
Yeah, it's garbage. I think the kind of dirty secret here is that it's kind of started, I think, with CM Punk and the pipe bomb. But the thing is, not everyone is CM Punk. Not everyone can kind of call out the behind-the-scenes stuff in a way that makes sense and works in the story.
If it doesn't, if it's not that, you know what the opposite of the pipe bomb is? It's Vince Russo era WCW.
Exactly. That's what we're getting, because you're trying to imitate something that one person was very, very good at, and not everyone else is. And, the result is, as we've seen, disastrous.
Yeah, So let's see. So if you're going to be at WrestleMania, hit us up and we can be miserable together.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I'm excited about going to New Orleans. I'm excited about WrestleCon. I'm excited about all the other stuff that's going to be happening.
Yeah.
And then speaking of WrestleMania, if WWE can get its shit together and we're still interested in the product, have you heard where WrestleMania 31 is going to be? They're officially announcing it this week, but it has already been leaked.
Is it Los Angeles?
It is not Los Angeles, but it is San Francisco.
Oh, still
still close enough where we can totally do that. And in San Francisco, here's the plus about San Francisco. One of my best friends lives up there, and we can stay with him for free.
Oh, nice. That's definitely a plus.
If we're still interested in the product.
Yeah.
WrestleMania 31, we could both go.
That's sweet.
And let me tell you, I got decent WrestleMania tickets for about the same price that I got SummerSlam tickets for.
Oh, really?
Like, not bad. It's high. I mean, it's high up, but I did this 3D seat viewer thing where they have a website where it's like, here's what your view will look like. And I'm like, that's not bad. And and I just want to be there, you know, like, so... So I'm fine. I'm not going to break the bank because like if anything below like the mezzanine at WrestleMania is insane.
Yeah.
Like any kind of floor seats, you're talking about hundreds, if not thousands of dollars.
Dang.
Which is fucking nuts. Those guys right behind the announce table, that's like $5,000.
Jeez. That's like, it's too much.
So like when I sit there and watch these guys that are behind there, I'm like, Jesus Christ, like that's crazy town. So that's exciting. WrestleMania coming to California.
Yeah.
And I'm excited as long as if I'm still interested.
Yeah. If it's still good enough to watch.
We might be jaded indie only fans by then. Who knows?
Yeah, it's true.
So we'll see. All right. So WrestleMania 31, San Francisco, but there's so much that can happen between now and then. And, we got TLC, we got Royal Rumble coming up, and I just don't know, man. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm worried about the Rumble. The Rumble, honestly, might be my favorite pay-per-view of the year, just as a concept, more so than WrestleMania.
It's always been my favorite. And,
yeah, I don't know how they're gonna how the current WWE is gonna handle that.
Yeah, I guess we'll just have to wait and find out. So
who do you think's gonna win? If you can predict it right now,
I couldn't predict right now because again,
I gotta say the last 2 years I found it very easy to predict who was gonna win, and this year I can't.
Depends on what happens.
Like at TLC.
Yeah. Because if Cena doesn't win, I mean, you got to think that
he's going to win the Rumble.
Stupid. Otherwise, I hope it's either Bryan or Punk.
Yeah, I would like to see one of them win it. I don't know.
I could also see Roman Reigns winning, but I feel like that might be too soon.
Yeah, I think that...
But they were said, I mean, based off of his performance at Survivor Series when he single-handedly eliminated four people.
It's true.
I could see where that's what that's headed for, but we'll see. I could also see another scenario that's been discussed is Lesnar returning.
Yeah.
Winning the Rumble, and instead of using his Rumble to get a title shot, he says, I want the streak.
That's interesting.
Huh. Because that seems to me the only logical opponent for Undertaker right now.
Unless they those secret negotiations with Sting work out.
I don't think Sting's going to work out. I feel like we would have heard something by now.
Yeah, it's and, true.
If Goldberg shows up, it's probably going to be him against Ryback.
Oh, Jesus.
Which, sweet mother of God.
Is that a rumor that Goldberg is coming back?
Yeah, they've been trying. That's
I mean, like I know about the DVD, but yeah,
that's a known thing that they're trying to get Goldberg and that it's probably to wrestle.
See, I don't
Ryback.
Read the news. I don't read the wrestling news.
Well, I was reading it from Twitter posts.
Okay.
Like from the wrestlers. And Goldberg even says, like, yeah, they've talked to me, but they haven't said anything that I want that I'm interested in yet. Like, cause he has all the power because he doesn't care whether or not he wrestles. He has gone on record saying he wants to wrestle again so his son can see. But like they gotta make the sweet deal, and right now it doesn't seem like they're but if we get to a point where they haven't been able to get anybody any other big like return like somebody like that, then maybe they'll have to, because Austin said he's not gonna go. If Hogan is there, I hope to God he should be there. It's WrestleMania 30. But should he wrestle there? No, because one, he'd probably die.
Yeah.
Like he is in no condition to wrestle.
Yeah.
And if
we do see a Goldberg Ryback match, what will the fans chant mockingly at Ryback? That's the real question here.
I don't know. And is Ryback dumb enough to think that Goldberg's going to put him over? And what will that do for Ryback? Like, who cares?
Yeah.
Ryback, I can't believe the people, because I still, like, in these, like, question things, and, like, when people are asking questions online and stuff, they're like, what happened to Ryback? I'm like,
Ryback, he sucks is what happened to him.
They gave
He's
him
not
the
a good
ball
wrestler.
And he fucking dropped it. That's what happened. Like, Ryback has proven that he can't. He's not the guy. Like, he's not the guy. As much as Vince McMahon wants him to be, he's not the guy. And they finally realize he's not the guy. That's what fucking happened.
Yeah.
And unless he can, Ryback needs to, like, I don't know, go to Japan and maybe he can get his shit together. Who knows? But
yeah, I don't. I mean, if it hasn't happened, how long has he been wrestling? 5 years now?
Yeah, but I mean, he could. I mean, I'll say that now. But I mean, it took years and years. But from now, I actually like Mark Henry. To me, is entertaining.
But he's good on the mic, Mark Henry, and I think he's been good on the mic for a while. I don't know that he's good. I don't know that he's good in the ring.
I like what he's doing right now with like the headbutts, and he did a splash. Yeah. Like that was crazy. He did a crossbody. Like he's mixing it up a little bit and he's entertaining, but I'm not saying he's the greatest. I think Mark Henry is miles ahead of where he was, you know, even 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
I mean, I still don't think, like, I think I don't see him as like a, I mean, I don't know. I could still see him. It seems like they're turning him face though, but they need to stop. They need to stop
talking
turning
Mark
him
Henry?
So much.
Yeah.
Like if he does it, I hope they don't do another heel turn with him anytime soon, because that's too many.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know. So I don't know. I just think but I think Ryback, I think he's fine right now teaming with Curtis Axel.
I don't, because there are so many good wrestlers signed to the WWE who just aren't doing anything right now.
That is true.
So to waste any time on Ryback, I feel is
a
mistake.
There's a lot better people they could put with Axel.
Shoot, put Tyson Kidd with Curtis Axel. Put I don't know.
Justin Gabriel you could throw in there. Well, hell, put Ziggler in there. Give Ziggler something to do. Let Ziggler be on TV.
Yeah.
All
right. So I don't know. I don't know what you're right. You're right. I mean, I just Ryback, but that's another thing. Like Ryback is not going to just disappear from TV. It's not going to happen.
I'm an idealist, Brendo. I want to believe in these things.
I know that Vince McMahon has a major hard on for big dudes. Same thing with Triple H. I mean, Triple H has gone on record saying guys like Gabriel and Brian and those guys are just like flippy floppy white midget spot monkeys, and they have no place in the main event. And like, and these are the guys that are running the company. And this is what we've, you know, unless you're CM Punk and you just fucking force yourself into it, like you,
yeah.
And then even then, they'll find a way to not put you in the main event. It still is insane to me. CM Punk has not main evented a WrestleMania.
Yeah,
and that's bullshit.
Yeah.
Even, he was the champion, and even like there's this thing where like, you know, everyone likes to say like, but he was the champion for over a year, but like you almost have to put an asterisk in that next to that, because that whole time he was losing matches all the time, and he was still below the card, below Cena on the card.
And you know what? Look at this. Maybe I'm going to come at you with some optimism right now. Maybe this stretch of the year is just where they put the shit. Because if you look at it, that's when Punk and Ryback had their feud last year, was during this stretch. And that was like three pay-per-views in a row of dusty finishes between Punk and Ryback.
Yeah.
And that was awful. So maybe this is just the shit wrestling season. And maybe it'll get better.
January through March for movies?
Yeah, exactly.
Because
this is the exact season when that was so bad when they were constantly just having him job to Ryback in various ways.
Yeah, that's where I was starting to get curious again, and I was reading about it, and I'm like, I don't want to watch this.
Yeah.
So I hadn't even made the jump yet to like actually watching.
Yeah. Good call.
So let's move on to some lighter fare here. WWE is releasing a comic this week.
Yes.
And so I was on WWE.com, and you can read the 10-page preview. It's written by Mick Foley.
Yes. Which
that gives me some optimism.
Because he can write.
Yeah.
It sounded sarcastic, but it wasn't.
But I like the synopsis here because it's kind of insane.
And you know what? I did read the 10-page preview. I had forgotten. We were talking about this before the show started, but rereading parts of it, I realized, oh, yeah, I did read this. Go ahead with the synopsis.
Welcome to Titan City, a metropolis where everyone's hiding secrets and there's no one to trust. In a corrupt world where everyone is looking to cash in, three larger-than-life combatants collide. John Cena's been framed for a crime he didn't commit. Randy Orton's on the verge of achieving citywide power, and CM Punk is determined to bring the whole corrupt system crashing down. Yeah. From the scheming South Side to the barren desert, no man's land, where even the law refuses to go, the powerful factions of Titan City are locked in a battle for control in an unforgettable noir landscape featuring AJ Lee, Sheamus, The Undertaker, Daniel Bryan, and more. So, just by reading this, it sounds like a shitty ripoff of Sin City with like WWE wrestlers as the characters. Yeah.
Yeah.
And reading the comic that as much as I have read, like it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it's very you know, I love Mick Foley.
Kids are childhood like hero this, of mine.
Kids are gonna like it, and also Mick Foley is very much a company man. If you see any of his tweets and stuff like that, so it's gonna be very. It's going to be a lot about how great Cena is, probably, this comic.
Yeah, which it very much seems to be, like, I'm already reading. But I do, the artwork's pretty entertaining.
I do like some of the artwork. I unironically like the, there's one of the CM Punk variant covers I thought was really cool.
Oh, and the Wyatts are in it? And,
yeah.
Yeah. So that's...
Yeah, this is... It's weird. Why?
Daniel why Bryan is a cop?
My question here.
Wait, Daniel Bryan is a cop?
I didn't hear that.
Oh, wait, no. That's that. It looked like Daniel Bryan, but it's Zeb
Coulter.
It's
just a guy who looks like him?
No, it's Zeb Coulter.
Okay.
Like, there's one drawing of Zeb Coulter where he looks like, oh, it's the real Americans. They're the warden. They're the prison guards.
Oh, I see. Okay. Let me ask, why do you think this is happening?
because kids like comics and they want to
But well, from what I hear, even, like, there's not a lot of money in comics.
No.
Like the money they make off this comic is nothing compared to
I
the
think
TV
this
money,
was
right?
Just one of the things they wanted to generate some buzz at Comic-Con, and then they're just, you know, trying to be that all-around entertainment company. Like, we got the comic books, we got the video games, we got all that stuff.
Huh.
I don't know. It's just another thing they can sell in the shop zone, maybe. I have no idea.
Yeah, I guess.
Like, how, why, like, who, obviously people buy that stuff, but, like, looking at some of that stuff in the shop zone, like, who buys this stuff?
Yeah. I might buy this if it's at my
LCS, I mean, it looks
my
entertaining.
Store.
Yeah. So this, oh, wow, there's the
what, big is this
show.
Is this a $3 or a $4, this comic?
It's $2.99.
All right, they're doing that right at least.
So, you know, it is what it is. And I think that's just I remember being a kid and reading some of the WWE comics and they were really bad. Like, they even have there's like a feature on this on WWE.com in the sidebar. They also have one on the Marvel WCW comics, which were also really bad. it's weird because you would think
these worlds would mix well.
Yeah, but the way they never figure out how to do it, it's just really weird.
Yeah.
So that led me to reading about I just was at WWE Books, their Wikipedia page, and I just assumed that the only things they had done were like the autobiographies and there was like a cookbook and then some of those other books. But I discovered that WWE Books has published two fiction books.
Yes.
And the first one seems somewhat okay. It's called Journey into Darkness, An Unauthorized History of Kane.
What can I ask? What is the what reading level are they shooting for with
these
books? These
look like adult fiction.
Okay. Not what I was expecting there.
So this one, so let's talk about Journey into Darkness real quick, because this one isn't. So this is Journey into Darkness is a 2005 novel. The book is a history of Kane and ties together pieces of the real life Glenn Jacobs, such as giving the character name Glenn Jacob Calloway and the idea that he took the name Kane from his mother's maiden name. The story also deals very sparingly with The Undertaker, Kane's brother. This was the first WWE novel.
Calloway comes from, probably.
Yeah. So it just seems to be this weird story. And they even bring in the Katie Vick storyline.
When did this come out?
2005.
Oh.
So that happened, which that's a little bit like, okay. Yeah. I can see that. But then this one, like...
You hyped this. You didn't tell me what this is before the show started because you wanted there to be a surprise.
This is fucking insane.
Okay.
I don't know how I didn't hear about this. Why this hasn't been on a website. Why this isn't on WrestleCrap. Maybe it was and I missed it. But so they made this movie. I mean,
wait,
that's
movie
this book.
Or book?
No, book.
Okay.
They made a book called Big Apple Takedown. And on the cover is Tori Wilson in like this very skimpy outfit holding a gun.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm gonna read the plot real quick.
Okay.
The story begins in December 2001. WWE Chairman Vince McMahon meets with old aide Phil Thompson, a government official. Thompson proposes to Vince the creation of a covert group consisting of McMahon's most refined wrestlers, knowing their exaggerated, constantly touring lifestyle will provide excellent cover.
McMahon accepts the deal and recruits John Cena, Triple H, Batista, Chavo Guerrero, and Torrey Wilson, and finally himself as leader. By March 2006, the team has formed a tight unit and given its latest assignment to break into a methamphetamine development lab that is financially supporting terrorists in the European regions. When one of their own is taken principal, when one of their own is taken prisoner, the wrestlers must stage a rescue which could endanger their careers and their lives. Come on!
I need to be reading this book right now.
I do too. I have to find this book.
Because, it's called Big Apple Takedown?
Yes. This is the wrestlers as a crime fighting team.
This is the Wrestling Avengers with Vince McMahon as Nick Fury.
Yes.
Oh my God. Oh, I'm looking at the cover right now. That is
I've never heard about that before. We have to read this and we have to discuss it on the show.
Yes.
Cuz I'm sure like there's got to be used copies. Oh, it doesn't seem like it.
Oh man.
This seems to have gone out of print very quickly.
I wonder why.
There's only one available and there's a used copy. The used copies are here's mass market paperback for a penny. There we go.
Nice.
Cuz I saw at first I saw one where it was like $50. I'm like, "What?" The Kindle version is $11. What? WWE this only has 6 customer reviews and it's 4.5 stars. What? Hold on.
I'm bringing this up on Amazon right now as well.
This doesn't seem right.
Why not?
It has such
high reviews.
It has high reviews. December 2001, Vince McMahon steps out of a snowy night into a diner in upstate New York for a meeting with old friend Phil Thompson. Thompson has a strange proposition.
Can I? Is this Amazon that you're looking at here?
Yeah.
Can I select my favorite review from
reviews
the Amazon page?
Are awesome.
5 from Mike SC on July 9th, 2006. 5 stars. Title of the review is canon worthy. First line. You ready for this? In my life as an English professor.
Oh, this is awesome.
Yeah. I'm gonna suggest that maybe this is a lie. This person is not an English professor. Well,
going on to read this, oh, dude, this is amazing.
Yes. Oh boy. Where's the one click to buy button? I'm on this.
And then there's one that says, "This book is actually good."
Someone who's like, "I know these other jokesters are giving their fake good reviews, but is that the point of that review?"
Yeah. There's one in all caps, of course.
Yep, I saw that one.
I love this book, the best book I ever read. If you are a Triple H fan like I am, then you have to get this book because Triple H dominates in it. Wow, I this sounds amazing. This sounds amazing.
I just bought it. I have purchased this book.
Okay, well, I gotta buy it. I will also be buying it.
Yeah.
So I had never heard about this, and then it that's all that it says about this book. So I don't know what happens or who. I want to know who. Like, I just can't imagine in what world this book happened. Like, so it's 2005. No, it published in 2006. They're in a meeting and somebody says, "Hey, Vince, let's write a book where you lead some of the wrestlers as a superhero team." And he says, "Sure."
Because
Vince had to have signed off on this because he signs off on anything. Maybe this was Vince's idea. Because this sounds like his own wet dream.
I want to know more about Rudy Josephs. I want to know who this guy is. How did he get this job? Because I want to be the one to write the third WWE fiction
book.
And
why isn't there a sequel? Why isn't this a movie?
Yeah.
Why isn't this the next WWE film?
You know what? Batista's becoming a movie star now. Maybe he can use his juice to get it made. He's in this book.
I mean, they're taking down meth labs. That's relevant. That could be like Breaking Bad.
There's a whole in the market for meth fiction right now.
Yeah.
This could be it.
Oh, man.
This sounds way more entertaining than the last month of Raw.
It's very true. Let me ask you this. Do you think it exists in the same fictional universe as Journey into Darkness?
Maybe.
I would love if there was like a if there was a reference in this book for the Journey into Darkness fans.
I'm going to have to read that one too. I'm going to have to read these cuz this seems interesting. But this Wikipedia article of Journey into Darkness is kind of insane.
Yeah, I'm looking at that one now.
Like,
well,
it goes into great detail, like the continuity errors.
Yeah, like, yeah, there's somebody... most of the article is a section called Loose Ends.
Like, somebody really...
Can I tell you one of my favorite sentences on Wikipedia now? Starts out with the word so. So the book, at the same time, upholds and yet debunks certain parts of the existing WWE canon. That's a sentence that somebody wrote on this Wikipedia page. Oh, man.
Yeah, so that was the joy of my week in wrestling.
Thank you, truly, for discovering this, because like, I wouldn't have.
Because when I get really bored with wrestling, and then I start digging around in Wikipedia and looking in things, and sometimes I find things like this. And
you find gold.
So that's, you know, and that's what I'm gonna take away from this week, this month on the Matt Bendo Wrestling Show.
If wrestling hadn't gotten this bad, we never would have discovered Big Apple Takedown.
And so I hope maybe we could all read it and discuss it, and you know.
Yeah, it'll be the Matt and Breno's Wrestling Club book club.
Yeah,
no?
And then
did I say those words right?
And then we can start tweeting WWE, like, why haven't you made Big Apple Takedown into
we can start a grassroots Twitter campaign for a sequel to Big Apple Takedown.
Like, come on. At the very least, a sequel book, but WWE Films, I mean, they're branching out.
I mean, this is a franchise, I think. I think we need to see the Batista movie, we need to see the Torrey Wilson movie, and it all needs to come together in the Big Apple Takedown
absolutely.
Movie.
Absolutely, and Chavo Guerrero.
Yeah.
That's such a weird choice. Also, the choices. Choice.
Yeah.
Do you think they had to get permission? Like, I'm assuming they did. So it's like, do you think they went to some people and are like, hey, we're going to do this book. Will you be in it? And they're like, no. Like, who said no to Big Apple Takedown? Did John Cena say no to Big Apple Takedown?
Well, John Cena's in it,
he's
I think.
In it. Okay.
Yeah.
Who's not in it?
So John Cena didn't say no.
Is Triple H in it?
Oh,
he is. Yeah. He is.
Yeah, because remember that one person, as a Triple H fan, he brings it in this book.
Okay, yeah. Well, still, like, so that's exciting. See, this is exciting.
Yeah.
See, we've got to look on the bright side of life here. That's what we're doing.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing for you, the fans, and the listeners.
We're showing you brighter corners of the WWE universe that you didn't know existed.
Yep. And that's what I do. I seek out the gold and just muck through the shit and and this is gonna be great. And maybe and that's where I'm hoping maybe this new WWE comic maybe there'll be a crossover.
Yeah, maybe we'll finally get that sequel in the form of a storyline, but only if it's successful. So everyone go out and buy the comic when it comes out.
Okay, sounds good. That comes out next week, and you know. To be honest, I don't have anything else to talk about. I'm tired of talking about how much.
I think this is the cap. Yeah, this is the most important piece of information we could have gotten out today.
Yeah. All right. Well, you can listen to this show and all the other shows from the Benview Network. Go to benviewnetwork.com for all the links and details. You can also listen to us on Stitcher. Just click the Stitcher link at mbwspod.com. You know, we got our other shows, Popsicles, Radio Brendo Man. I'm at Brendo Man on Twitter.
I'm at Dr. Matt Benson. That's Dr. Matt Benson.
How's the retooling of the Benson's Boombox coming?
It's going good, going strong. Got a couple, I got a sketch written.
Nice.
Yep. It's going to come back strong one day in the bright future.
And if you want to send in your questions, if you went to a show, you want to talk about it, questions, comments, anything, if you've read these books that we're talking about. Yeah. Please let us know. And that's just go to the contact us. Go to mbwspod.com, click the contact us, or go on our Facebook page. We're on there. I've been posting some stuff on the Facebook page. And we've got our Twitter at mbwspodcast. And I think that's going to do it. So for Matt and Brendo's Wrestling Show, I'm Brendan Creasy.
I'm Matt Benson.
Have a good one, everybody.
It's our time, we're taking over the prime time. And if you cross us, you're stepping over the fine line. But we can take this to the center of the ring. And when the bell dings, it's time to go. I'll hit the top rope while you're bleeding. No, slam you with a chair in the back of your head. Put you through a table, now you're thinking you're dead. As I climb the ladder and reclaim the belts, you're going home with a face full of welts. We came to win. Well, you better know it's Matt and Brendo's Wrestling Show.
This podcast is a part of the Benview Network.
You can find this and other podcasts like it at BenviewNetwork.com.